mercy. Mercy, that's a great characteristic of God, isn't it? Mercy. And I just got to think about that mercy. And you live a morning, the first thing I do 7 days a week, I get up and I go to my study and I have my prayer, my devotion. And then I begin to thank the Lord. And I always start off with salvation. You ever thank the Lord for your salvation? I thank the Lord for my salvation. Then there's so many aspect to our salvation. You know, as you look back on your life and how many years ago that been whenever you were saved, I don't know if it's been 50 or 30 or 40 or 10 or whatever it might be, but look back on your life and just think about all the aspects that the Lord has blessed you with and the mercy that the Lord showed you. Even when you didn't even know the Lord, you know, He was right along with you and all the blessing that He gave you. Then I began to name the names of different people and for different things that need to be prayed for, that I can think of, and I write them down, and then I try to start reflecting on my blessings. Then I begin to thank Him for a lot of things that are just old common things. A lot of things that we just take so much for granted. I got to think about so much this younger generation, this kids today, and I was taking a hot shower the other night or the other day, and I got to thinking back whenever I was younger in the house that I was raised in. We didn't even have no water in the house, much less hot water. We didn't have any water. I know that y'all can't remember this. I'm probably the oldest one in here. Most of y'all don't remember back in those days. We didn't even have no bathroom. We didn't have no place to take a bath, foot water. And I got to thinking, you know, all you got to do is just turn the water on. Now comes hot water. Can you imagine what a blessing that is on cold, rainy nights? I know I'll not say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Cold, rainy nights when you got an upset stomach. No bathroom in the house. Y'all don't remember those days. I know some of y'all got nothing. Y'all don't know. The simple things of life. Isn't it something? Get out there and take a bath and a shower. Well, I begin to thank the Lord for these things, you know. And all the things that He give us. And then it was just for salvation and being saved. And, you know, we come here tonight and we got a nice, warm, comfortable church to come to praise the Lord in. And I think all the time, dear people say, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to neither. But I want to. And I get an opportunity. And I got to thinking about that. You know, I get to go to church. And how a blessing it is just to get to go to church. And that's right, a warm automobile. I'm telling you what, it's so great. Don't have to walk. We need to walk, don't have to walk. But I was just thinking about just the blessings. You know, if there wasn't no hell, and I knew there wasn't no heaven, I knew there wasn't no hell, you know what, I believe it'd be worth it to be saved just for here and the now. I just believe it'd be worth it. If the grave ended all, which we knew it don't, but if it did, I believe it's pages to serve Jesus Christ and love Jesus Christ just for the days we have here on this earth. That's what this blessing is about. It's just a blessing. It's looking back. And this is the Beatitudes. And I'm going to read this verse of Scripture before I go any further. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Father Jesus, we want to thank You for Your mercy. And Lord, we just thank You for being God, and we praise You this hour and for allowing us to be part of this day. It's Your day that You created for us, and I thank You, Lord, for the breath that You allow me to breathe this hour. And Father, coming out this night, oh God, and being in the midst of Your people, Father, for Your love, Your mercy that You shed upon us each day, as we gather together tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, how great it is, Lord, to be able to serve You and to love You and to worship You. And what a great opportunity we have. We thank You and we praise You, Lord, for allowing us to have this opportunity on this side of eternity. Father, we just want to thank You for each one that's here. And again, the ones we've prayed for on our prayer list. There's so many people sick in so many different type of ways. Would like to be here tonight, but couldn't. And we just ask You, Lord, to be able to touch them in a very special way. And maybe those, Lord, that didn't want to come tonight for some reason or other. Father, we just pray, God, that You'll also be with them, all those that's traveling. The ones we have in our prayer box and our hearts and minds and our families at home and all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we thank the Lord for this mercy. And he allows us to be part of his great, great creation. And I got to thinking so much as I was laid on my bed last night. I got to think about how God lets me be part of something as great as his church. And I'm not just really talking about Pleasant Hill, but his church here on this side of eternity. Have you ever thought how great it is for you to be part of the greatest? The power of the world is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's just so great in the opportunity we have. I just wonder what I can do for the Lord for a few more days I have here on this earth. You know, they're going to be few for every one of us in here. I doubt any of us will be around 50 more years from here. Sitting in here, they could be, but most of us will be gone, I guarantee you, 50 years from now. It may not be that long for some of us, and I know me. But, you know, that ain't many days, is it? 50 years, that's few. That's few days. I mean, it's awful few. 100 years, just a short time, breath, and it passes away. But the opportunity gives us to give everybody a special blessing. And got to think about the special talents that he give every one of us, and special blessing they give every one of us. And each one of them here at Pleasant Hill, and I got to thinking, you know, about Pleasant Hill, how great it is, the talents and what people can do here at this church, and the talent he'll give different ones, the gifts that he'll give us. And it's so great to know that he's given so many great gifts. I wish I had some of the gifts that some of these people have here at this church. I wish I could sing like old Marshall. You know, I do. I wish I could sing. You know, it would be great good, because as Brother Marshall knows, as God puts a sermon on your heart and you go to start beating out that sermon, sometimes that might be two or three songs. There may be more than that run across your mind in preparing that sermon, what you're thinking about. It just all goes together with the Word of God, the songs that we sing. It just sticks to you, and it just starts coming to you. And a lot of times, I wish I could stop my preaching and do what old Marshall does. I'm envy him. He can sing. You know, he's got talent to sing, and he sings. But not only Marshall, look at all the rest of them we got in our church that sing. You know, that's I wish I could sing. I really do. You know, and Miss Dorothy plays the piano. I wish I can't play a radio. I'm telling you, I'm in bad shape. Lord, our family didn't get much music instruments, I'm telling you. And then, you know, there's old Joe and Robert, you know, they can play the guitars. Isn't it something people sing? And then we got the choir back there, and old Ray and the rest of them, Margot, they sing these specials, and everybody sing all these special songs. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Now, what we have here ain't great. I wish I had some of these talents. Man, I wish I had some of these talents. I can't do any of them things. Well, Lord, it didn't call me to do them, but I wish I could do some of them. I'm envious of you, tell you the truth. But I know what the Lord did call me to do. He called me to preach. Now, I know that I'm on the bottom of all God's preachers, and that don't bother me none, but I wish I could speak like some of these preachers could preach. Man, I'm telling you what, I wish I could pronounce these words. And thank y'all for allowing me to help me, because y'all know I get so tongue-tied, I can't see what I'm saying half the time. But I thank you. And I can't talk like that. I can't speak like that. And I just get kind of envious of people. You know, if I had all what they had, I'd do more for the Lord. Couldn't you? Then I got to thinking, all God wants us to do is just use what you got. He said, bring me what you got. Moses, what you got in your hand? Ain't got a stick. Bring it to me. I'll show you what you can do with it. Just no staff. But sometimes, you know, I get the feeling kind of blue, and I get envious of people, and I always think that somebody can do it. You ever think somebody can do a better job than you're doing? You know, when you sing a song, you say, well, I think somebody can sing the song a lot better than me. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class, say, well, listen, I know we got people who can teach better than me. But it's not about teaching better or singing better or doing better. It's just doing what God has called us to do the best we can. And, you know, a lot of time you think, well, I messed up, and, you know, people make fun of me. They make fun of me a lot of times. But you see, I can't quit because people make fun of me. I can't quit. Because I want to do what few more days I got left. You know, I got to say, I want to do something for the Lord. What have you done this past week? What have you done the last few days for the Lord? What are you going to do next week for the Lord? Well, talking about these blessings, you know, the Beatitudes. Each one of them, all these Beatitudes, and it all hinges on this mercy that I'm talking about. Blessed, you know, if we had all these Beatitudes and we put one of them on, put every one of them on like a cloth of garments, you know what? If we could put on these Beatitudes the way Jesus intended for us to put on these Beatitudes, you know what? You'd look like Jesus. You'd look like Jesus in all these Beatitudes. Beatitude means, you know, this always starts with the word blessed. Blessed. What's blessed? It's a hard word to describe. And even in the Greek language, it's the best language I know of, and I can't speak any Greek languages. I can't read it either. But it means happy, trying to define what it means. It means happy, means fulfillment, means joy, complete, and very much more. And it ought to be the Beatitudes ought to be. And then that's where it starts off all of the Beatitudes that ought to be. And we begin to see ourselves as we really are as we read the Word of God. And then we see ourselves as we ought to be. And there's a lot of things that we ought to be. In verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples now as he began to teach them and seeing the multitudes and went up to a mountain. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we won't take all these, but we're just going to take them one or two as we get down to, might take them as we get down to verse 7, just speak a little bit on them. Blessed are those who see their spiritual condition. And it says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. I don't mean poor in money, but the poor in spirit. And that is one blessed. That's happy. You know, that's fulfillment. That's completement and much more. It says, and those people now that sees their spiritual condition. Now, how many years did you and I go when we was lost and didn't know Jesus Christ and we thought we was in pretty good spiritual condition? How many people that you would talk to today and they don't know that they need saving because they don't know their spiritual condition? They're lost and on the way to hell. They might be a church member, might be a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, but they're lost. And if they're lost, it says, you know, they don't know their spiritual condition. They think they're in good spiritual condition. But you and I tonight, if you're saved, it says to those that are poor in spirit, those are bankrupt in spirit, and see their condition, bankrupt sinners, and see their condition, how that a bankrupt sinner that I am, and you was, before Jesus came into our heart. Then it says, verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, whenever we see our spiritual conditions, and we know that we are a bankrupt sinner, doomed, damned, and on our way to hell, there's nothing that we can do to merit our salvation. God loved us and the mercy that he gave us. And then verse 4, it says, you know, again, blessed are they that mourn. Now that causes us to mourn because there's nothing I can do. If I don't break your heart knowing that you have lost, you are lost, and knowing that you are doomed and damned, and know that you are a bankrupt sinner, and there's nothing that you have that God wants. I mean, you can't pay him back for one sin, not one lie you ever told. There's nothing that you got that he wants except your heart. That would cause you to mourn. And it says if we do understand that, then it says we shall be comforted. You know what? I went through that. If you are you saved that, you went through the same thing. I saw my condition by the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God. And did you mourn a little? Did you mourn a little? Verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. They mourned. Mourning is repenting towards God, and it brings salvation. Broken over our condition. And when we broken over our condition and see that we're lost, there's blessed are they that mourn, because you see, they shall be comforted. And then it says in verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek now is submission to the will of God. Start with, we was lost sinners. Doomed, bankrupt, couldn't help it. And then there in verse 4, we mourn because of that. And then we are meek. That means submission to the will of God. We submit to the will of God. The strength have been conquered. I mean, no longer in battle with God because we know he has won. Now we are under control of God's guidance and his leadership by the Holy Spirit of God. When I see what I am as a lost sinner and I repent and I yield myself unto God, that comes under salvation. You see, all that strength now can be converted over to God's will. Kind of like the Hoover Dam. I know y'all saw on television now that great river was turned into a dam, and it was dammed up, and what, I don't know how many millions of homes that turning those turbines for electricity because it was harnessed. They didn't do away with the river. They just harnessed the power of it and controlled it and it turned it into electricity. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit of God has done in all of our lives. He just controls our life and turns us in to all the power we have can work through the name of Jesus Christ, and he works through our life. And then verse 6, it said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, after we see to start with, I'm a lost sinner, then I repent of my sin, I yield to the will of God, then I hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, then I'm born again. Then whenever you're born again, what should you do? It says thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst. Now, if someone is not saved, don't care anything and concern about anything that has anything to do with God, there's something wrong. I'm telling you, if they don't thirst after Jesus Christ, after coming this far in salvation, born again, we should act like it. Then here's where verse 7, after you save, then you start really reaching out for and thirst after the righteous. Then blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy now, because we have obtained mercy from the Lord, that salvation. Now, we ought to be able to show mercy because we have attained mercy. This is where it comes in. This is a God-like characteristic that we are here tonight because we have obtained mercy, and as God's children, we ought to show mercy. That's in our hearts and our mind that we're saved. We should show it now by the mercy we have. But what is mercy? What is mercy? Well, it's not softness as someone might have. Say, that person wouldn't even kill a fly. That person wouldn't kill a snake in the nursery. That's not mercy. Just being soft is not mercy. Centimism, someone's in trouble and tragedy and you feel sorry for them, you might shed a tear. You know, that's really not mercy either. I was reading all I could find on mercy and sometimes how we look the other way when we should be helping someone. And I was just reading where this man went to a new town on a business trip, and he's going to his business meeting, and there was a man laying there on the street. I know you see homeless people, and he's passed out, beer can in his hand, and people just stepping over him, you know. And I'll tell you, if you go to one of these bigger cities, I mean, you see it all the time. They just lay in there. Sometimes they go drive around the next morning picking up the dead in just about all our bigger cities. Y'all know that? Well, they were just stepping over. And he just said, well, listen, there ain't nobody. That's a derelict down there. He's drunk, and he just upset him because there wasn't nobody helping him. They were stepping over him. Just humanity laying there on the street, nobody helping him. So he went on to his business meeting and kept thinking about it, and he come back out after several hours, and the man was still laying there. He said, you know, that's what I thought. They ain't nobody helped that man. And we always think about this now. They didn't nobody help that man, but how about him? We always expect somebody else to help them. It's somebody else. Always think about the other person. When you know what? We ought to be thinking about ourselves. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is compassion in action. In action. That's what God gave us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is one of the most beautiful characteristics, really, of God, and ought to be our characteristic, too, as we put on Jesus Christ. When we are merciful, we act like God. When we're not merciful, we don't act like God. So, the beauty of mercy. Oh, the beauty of mercy. Lamentation 3 and 22. It is of the Lord mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. Mercy is always linked with compassion. It's his mercy each day that we're not consumed. Did y'all know that? Every day, it's because of God's mercy that you're not consumed. On the road, most of us drove an automobile or either rode an automobile today. We probably passed someone that you know you could have had a head-on collision today. Every one of us in here more than likely passed somebody could have had a head-on collision. But not only that, that could have been an accident. But you know what? You could have had a heart attack today. I could have had a heart attack today. Say, well, I ain't never had a problem with my heart. Well, you know what? You might have some problem with it. You don't know how many of us are going to die from a heart attack. You don't have to be old to die from a heart attack. You know what God does? Lord's mercy, you know, he says there that we're not consumed at the call of his mercy every day. Every day. It says in the next verse, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know what? God don't have to take your life, as I just said. All he has to do is just stop giving it. He don't have to take your life. All he has to do is just stop you breathing. Stop my heart from beating. Just stop giving you life. You don't have to take your life. It's just stop giving you life. Ephesians 2 and 4, it says, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. There it is. The beauty of mercy is because he loves us. He loves us. In Ephesians 5 and 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That word followers of God means imitators. Followers of God. We imitate God. Be like God. To be merciful like God. Are you merciful? Be an imitator. And then Jesus Christ says, well, here's, I'm going to give you an example then. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, 26, and 27, it says, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor thyself. He said, all right, you answered correct. And then verse 28, it says, and he said unto him, you answered right. Thou hast answered right. It says, this do, and thou shalt live. So the lawyer, as most lawyers, is looking for a loophole. And did you know what? You could be 100% right and go to hell. You can be 100% right and go to hell. He was right. This lawyer was right. You think about this. There's people that's in our church. There's people around the country and the world that knows the plan of salvation. You better listen. You're not saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation. By knowing the plan of salvation do not save you. 100% correct. And there's many people that knows this and can answer right the very every time you ask them a question, and they are not saved. And I don't know who they are, who is lost and who's not lost. I'm not saying that. But I'm gonna tell you what, you can know the plan of salvation and you are not saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation. You could be 100% correct and still be lost and doomed and on your way to a place called hell. For instance, Jesus Christ, when he was born, we just celebrated his birthday at Christmas time, and old Herod, when he heard that the king of the Jews was born, he went to the scribes. He says, where is this king going to be born at? And the scribes is the one that looks into the word of God, and they are the teachers of that day. And the scribe says, well, you just go down to the little town down named what? Where did he go to? Bethlehem. And you'll find him. According to the scriptures, not the first scribe went and bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures of the word of God. They was 100% right, as I said, the people that knows the plan of salvation, but they was not saved, nor did they bow the knee to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the man of salvation. And for a head knowledge, you are not saved by being 100% correct, as this man that Jesus Christ described here in the word of God. So the lawyer said, well, I just wait a minute, he says now. Verse 29, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus Christ, and who is my neighbor then? Who is my neighbor? So he didn't want to be good to somebody, didn't have to be. So who is my neighbor? Because I don't want to love anybody I don't have to love. So Jesus Christ began to tell him about the Good Samaritan. Y'all remember? The Good Samaritan. And that is in verse 30. And Jesus said, answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. All right. As we read this, we find out Jesus Christ said, Lord, you want to know who your friend is? Well, you listen to this right here, and I'll just give you an illustration. And then verse 31, it says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Well, here comes a priest. What was a priest? They was a religious people at that time. They was the teachers. They performed the rituals, the sacrifices. They represent the rituals of that time of religion. Many, many today, that's all we do is go through rituals. A lot of times, when we don't worship, we go through rituals. That's what the priest represents. Those that just go through rituals. Went by that man, but just went on the other side and left him there. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side, just like the priest did. Well, we find who is a Levite. Then there was the keepers of the law in that Leviticus tribe. They represent the rules of the regulation, we call it. The rules, the laws. And they represented them. They knew them. All of those laws. They had more than just what Moses put down. They wrote a bunch of cells. Law can describe us. Law can describe us. Law can condemn us, but law will never redeem us. Law will never redeem us. So there was a third man, the third person come by, and that was the Samaritan. Now, the Jews despised these Samaritans. They interracial married with pagans, and they really despise them. But verse 33 and 34 says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound him his wounds, poured oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now, we have another man. Here he showed compassion. Mercy and compassion always acts together. Remember I said mercy is really compassion, and it acts together. He said he poured oil and he poured wine. Always we find out that Jesus Christ now is telling them their parable. What is the oil? All the way through the Bible, you know the oil is the Holy Spirit of God. It brings comfort. He poured the comfort on this man, the oil, the healing oil. The wine, as we speedily go through this, the wine represents the blood of Jesus Christ. We partake of the Lord's Supper. You know the wine is for the cleansing. Oil is there for comfort. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, keep mercy on your mind. Verse 34, he said, took this man, set him upon his own beast, and brought him to an inn. Now, this Samaritan, when we first met this man, he was riding, and this man was on the ground. And then we find that the Samaritan was on the ground. This man was on his horse, you might say. See, substitutionary. Jesus took our place. Mercy. He knew what mercy was. Jesus took our place. That poem, you know, that you read, I don't even think they know the author of it. Footprints in the Sand, where you see it sometimes on a painting where they two sets of footprints, and you know, after a while you see one set of footprints and ask for where the Lord went to, walking by side to side. Well, I'm carrying you. You see? That's what it's all about. He takes our place. Verse 35 says, Luke 10:35, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever you spendest more, when I come again, I will pay thee. As we see that verse 35, picture here of salvation and work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ came where I was and he gave me mercy. How about you? He came where I was, wounded, was beat up by this world. You know what? And he came where I was. I'm so glad. And then what did he do? He carried you to the house of mercy. He wounded you up and he ministered to you by the Spirit of the God. And you was wounded. He carried you and he paid the price. And he carried you, and you know where you're at tonight? You're really not in the house of called Pleasant Hill. You're in the house of mercy tonight in Christ Jesus. And then it says, you know, he paid the price. You know, Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the price for me. And he's coming again, it says. He's coming again. Verse 36, and it says, that same chapter, which now of these three, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? You guess. You see, there are three classes of people in this world when you walk out that door. They're the beta uppers, they're the passer uppers, and then there's lifter uppers. Which one are you? Which one are you? Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's the beauty of mercy. and here I am, time to go. The beauty of mercy is just compassion and action. The basis of mercy, there's no mercy without truth. There's no mercy without truth. Psalm 85 and 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. All real mercy is rooted in the truth. Like real faith. You cannot have real faith unless God speaks it. People say, if you got enough faith, listen, it's the Word of God. You cannot have biblical faith, real faith, unless God speaks and reveals that to you. And all you do is faith, act upon what God has already revealed and accept it like it is. Well, mercy is the same way. It's grounded in the root of the Word of God. To show mercy is not minimizing sin. I might ask you tonight, is God fair? Is God fair? You don't want God to be fair. You don't want God to be fair. Say, God is fair, but you don't want God to be fair, do you? Because if you did, you demand what your rights, and you demand what you have labored for. Do anybody want their what they labored for? Do anybody want what's coming to them? Or do you want mercy? Do you want mercy? You see, you don't want God to be fair when it comes to dealing out mercy, do you? Because you want Him to be on the merciful side. If He give you just what you deserve, what I deserve, what would it be? It wouldn't that be terrible? So you don't want God to be just when it comes to mercy, do you? Because He'd rather have mercy than for God to be just about it. But you see, it don't never minimize sin. God deals with us on the basis of fairness. We'd be in a mess. But He deals with us on the basis of mercy, on mercy. God is saying sin must be punished, and that is the truth. Once you see that the truth that you're really in, you see mercy like it is. But anyone that refuses the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there's no hope. They have rejected the Lord. They have no interest in the things and in the things of God. They're on their way to judgment, and they stand before Jesus Christ. And they says, God, have mercy on me. There will be no mercy then. Because you have passed up truth. You've passed up truth. There will be no mercy. I wish I had time to go on for the rest of these 2 points, but I'm going to try to end it here and to think about it, about this mercy. The basis of mercy is truth. But there are so many blessings of mercy in that one verse of scripture. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The more mercy you show, the more mercy you shall obtain. It's like a cycle that goes around. God says for us to be merciful. And for all people of the world, we ought to know what mercy is, because I myself have experienced mercy. Have you? I have experienced mercy. I have not experienced justice. God was not justice. He didn't give me justice. And I'm glad He didn't. But He removed my sins with mercy because of His Son on the cross. He died and shed that blood, and I accept that blood. But anybody that steps over the blood, there will be no mercy when they stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There will be no mercy if they reject His blood. There will be no more mercy. The truth of it is, it must be paid for. Sin must be paid for on the backs of Jesus Christ, or either on your back, and that means death, eternal death, separated from God forever and ever in a place called hell. Today, I just hope you think about it. I just want to thank You, Lord, for the mercy tonight. I really do. I want to thank You for the beatitudes, the blessings that God has blessed us with. Are you thankful tonight? Would anybody here, I got about 30 seconds, would anybody like to say anything tonight? Give You an opportunity. Anybody want to praise the Lord? Anybody want to thank the Lord for anything? Anybody like to say anything? Yes, my goodness, yeah. If not, have mercy on us as we go home. Amen. Have a safe